Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everyone out. I can't tell you how good it is to see the pews full. Let me amen what was said earlier. I know for Scott, when you look out, he must salivate when he hears all those singers. So thank you for being with us. And it is good that we glorify God and that he hears the praise of our lips. Amen. Amen. Used to be an old TV show called Name That Tune. And the whole deal of Name That Tune was you would win points by guessing how many notes it would take you to name that tune. So there would be contestants and someone say, I don't remember the host's name, but we'll make it Bob. Bob, I can name that tune in 6 notes. And then if you wanted to beat Bob, you'd say, or beat whoever the contestant is, Bob, I can name that tune in 5 notes. And the orchestra would play the beginning of the tune, and if you could name the tune in that many notes, you would win. Well, we're going to look at Jesus in 4 miracles. So instead of 5 notes or 4 notes, we're going to look at Jesus in 4 miracles. What can 4 miracles tell us about Jesus? What can they tell us about our faith? They can tell us a lot. And the idea of miracles is problematic for a lot of people. In our modern day and age, people want to throw out miracles. They want to have Jesus, but they don't want to have the Old Testament. They want to have Jesus, but they don't want to have the miracles. They may say something like this. I only believe in Jesus. By the way, this is not a new phenomenon. If you're not familiar with Thomas Jefferson's Bible, go look that up when you get home. So a lot of people may say, well, I only believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the Old Testament. You know, those are just myths that people get told. I only read the words in red. I believe in Jesus, but there must be another explanation for those miracles. If you're a History Channel fan like I am or a Discovery Channel fan, every time they deal with a biblical issue, this is the approach that they take, right? They say it's a miracle, but it was probably this and probably that. That's not the way the Bible presents it. So what are the big ones? What are the big miracles over which people stumble? Creation, 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 creation. So you're telling me to become a Christian, I have to believe that God created the world. Yes. You're telling me to become a Christian, I have to believe that God created a flood that covered the earth? Also yes. You're telling me to become a Christian and to believe in this Bible, I have to believe that God brought the people out of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea on dry ground? You want me to believe that? Yes. You want me to believe that God raised a man from the dead after 3 days and then took him back up into heaven? Also yes. Now, I don't know what happened in your brain when I read those things. I don't know if you were just waiting to amen the line or if you were going, maybe there's another explanation. This is a problem. Well, here's the thing about this attitude of I just want Jesus, I just want the words in red. You can't have Jesus without the creation. You can't have Jesus without the flood, the Exodus, or the resurrection. This is a religion of faith. By definition, to believe in something by faith is to say that I have not seen it. We Christians walk by faith and not by sight. We believe in an almighty God. I wrote a bulletin article on this a couple of months ago. The problem is not my ability to have faith in something. My problem is I don't believe in a God that's big enough. If that dissonance in your head happened when I mentioned those miracles, if maybe you're one of those that, maybe I don't really believe that. What you need to do is not worry about whether you believe in the flood. You need to worry about what kind of God you believe in. And I don't mean that in an ornery way. I mean sincerely, you need a bigger God. You need a God that's capable of all of those things. Thankfully for us, not only is God capable of those things, but Jesus believed in those things. You can't have faith in Jesus and not believe in those things. Why do we say that? To believe in Jesus means to believe He's the Son of God. To believe in Jesus means to say that I believe that He did not sin and would not lie. So if Jesus would not lie, if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Christ, would he lie to me about these things? Well, no. If Jesus was willing to lie and tell us a story, then he's not Jesus. He's not the Christ. He's not the Son of God. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus makes this audacious claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That is either true about Jesus, or he's not Jesus. John 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. Mark 14, 61 and 62, Jesus answers, the high priest says, the high priest asks, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am. Jesus claimed to be the Christ. He tried to claim to be one with the Father. He claimed to be the only way to heaven. He claimed to be the truth. Now, would someone who claimed to be the truth tell me a lie? That's the question we must ask. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. These are the things that we believe about Jesus. So if Jesus believed and talked about those things, what can we know? If Jesus believed in the creation and the flood and the Exodus story, if Jesus believed in the resurrection before it occurred, and of course he believed in it after he was resurrected, what must I believe? I want to be Christ-like. I want to be a Christian. I am saying about this Jesus that he is better than a man, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he is the truth. What do the Bible and Jesus tell us about these things? So what can we learn about Jesus in four miracles? Turn to the very first page in your Bible, or if you have an electronic Bible, speak into it or whatever you do. Voice control your Bible over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. By the way, I love making fun of electronic Bibles. I use electronic Bibles. I just believe in having a real Bible too. Genesis chapter 1. What does the Bible... this is not a lesson about the faith in the Bible, but it could be. What does the Bible tell us about this creation story? What must I believe to be a Christian? I must believe these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. The Bible tells me that God created the earth. The Bible tells me that I have a God that is great enough to put order into disorder, to take what is null and void and to create, to bring life to it, to set it in such an order that it will sustain life. You really want to ponder something for a while? Ponder how exactly the orbit of the earth around the sun sustains life. How the seasons sustain life. And on and on and on. And you will realize that there was an ordered mind that put those things into order. What God does is where there is no God, there is void. And where there is God, there is order. That's what Genesis tells us. Look a little further down in that same chapter in verse 26. Verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Word of God says God created the earth. Word of God says as part of that creation, God created man, male and female. Well, what if I don't like the Old Testament? What if I'm one of these people that just says, I just want Jesus. Don't tell me your fables, man. I want to hear about this good teacher, this Jesus, this kind, loving person that everybody tells me about. I don't trust anything else but Jesus. I don't trust the Old Testament. Well, let me tell you something. You can't have the New Testament without creation. You may be tempted to throw out the Old Testament. You can't have the New Testament without creation. Take a look at John chapter 1. This is a verse with which we're all very, very familiar. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word. That Word there is Jesus, the Logos. In the beginning was, allow me this, in the beginning was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That we that we read there in Genesis chapter 1, this is a direct reference to that. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You want to throw out creation? You've got to throw out more than the Old Testament. You've got to throw out the New Testament. And you've got to throw out more than the Old Testament. You've got to throw out more than the New Testament. You've got to throw out Jesus. Because Jesus, who was, of course, he believed, I mean, the irony of this for a Christian is saying Jesus believed in the creation is mumbo jumbo, right? That's like saying to someone who just fixed you a meal, I guess you believe in gumbo. Laurie believes in gumbo. Well, of course Laurie believes in gumbo. She just made gumbo. Jesus believed in the creation in the same way. I made that. Jesus is saying, I'm the we there in Genesis chapter 1. I am the Word that was with God and was God and through whom all things are created in John chapter 1. So, of course, Jesus believes in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, in the creation. Mitch read to us out of Mark chapter 10, the parallel account. Notice what Jesus says about God in this verse. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 5. Jesus answered, have you not read that he who... What's that word right there? He who created. He who created. What are we talking about here? The miracle of creation. Jesus said... Have you not read, first of all, Jesus here is attesting to the veracity of Genesis chapter 1. Have you not read that He, God, who created them from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus was not only there because He created it. He did not only believe it because He believed Genesis was the Word of God. He believed it because God did it, and He quotes from Genesis chapter 1 to prove it. So when Jesus says, He who created, and then says, in the beginning, guess what He's saying? You can't have Jesus without the creation. Jesus, who's the Son of God and the Christ, who is the truth, who would never lie to you, who would not use deceit in His mouth, that Jesus believed in the creation story. Why? Because it's true. Because we all can and should believe in it. Because mankind is different. Evolution is a terrible teaching for a lot of reasons, but not least of which is it makes us all animals. Makes us all animals. Makes us have no virtue. Makes everything survival of the fittest. God comes in and says, no, there's more. Man has spirit. Man is made in the image of God. He is different. He can be elevated by the Spirit of God. To believe in a creation is to believe in a God great enough to create. So did Jesus believe or does Jesus believe in the flood? Another one of these things I think that gives people trouble. First of all, what does the Word of God tell us? Genesis chapter 7. And of course, there's more here that I could read, but we're just using kind of selected readings to prove the point. Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 through 12. Remember, Jesus has already said, have you not read? Jesus has already attested to the veracity of Genesis. So in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, what do we find? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, in the beginning God created the earth. The Bible says, that God sent the water onto the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. In verses 20 and 23 of the same chapter, God tells us the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals, creeping things, birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. Word of God says it happened. If I am to have faith in Jesus, if I am to have faith in God, I have to have faith in the story of the flood. I have to believe in a God that is that powerful. And again, you might say, well, that's the Old Testament. You'll recognize a pattern here. You can't have the New Testament without the flood story. You may be tempted to throw out the Old Testament. You can't throw out, you would have to throw out the New Testament as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. What does an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ say? What does the New Testament say about this? Is it a myth or is it truth? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Now, are you telling me Peter's making fun of me? That's what you would have to believe right here. You would have to believe that Peter is making fun of you and I by telling us some story he didn't believe. Is that what I'm to expect here? Or does Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, know that it's true? He knows it's true. It's not some story we tell. It's not some convenient way to keep the kids busy when they're 3 years old. It's a story of how big my God is, how great He is, that He can create the world. He can destroy it if He so chooses. He's destroyed it once, by the way, with water. We know He's going to destroy it again by fire. To believe in the second coming is to believe in the flood. There's your 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to study that a little bit later. So again, if I'm going to say I don't believe in creation, I have to throw out the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus. If I say I don't believe in the flood, guess what you got to do? You got to throw out the Old Testament, the New Testament, and yes, indeed, even Jesus. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus here is talking about His second coming. He's talking about the day of the Lord. And He references something, again, if Jesus doesn't believe in this, He's referencing something that's make-believe. Would the truth, would a Son of God who claimed to be the truth, who Peter said there was no deceit found in His mouth, why would He say these words if He did not believe? Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus believed and quoted the story of the flood. If Jesus believed it, why can't I? If I claim to be a Christian, how can I not? Maybe that's the better question. Now, you might be sitting out there and you're going, you know, preacher man, you're asking a lot here. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, maybe I kind of like this group of people. You know, maybe I think you guys are, you know, worthwhile with your time. And I was thinking about maybe coming down and joining your club. The church is not a social club. The church is not just a place to spend time. My faith in Jesus Christ is not about social acceptance. My faith in Jesus Christ is about believing in a God and making Him the God of my life. It is about believing that Jesus has been given a kingdom, that He is Lord, and kneeling before Him and having enough faith to say, Lord, whatever You say to do, I will do. Well, you might be thinking, preacher, you're talking me out of baptism. Hopefully not. I want you to have that kind of faith. To become a Christian, in fact, if you don't have that faith, you're going to struggle, right? Because you're not truly converted. What God wants to know at the judgment day is, did you have faith in My Son? God's going to look out at everybody that's lived since the time of Christ, and He's going to say, I sent My Son, sinless, did not deserve it, to the cross to die and shed His blood for you. Now, what did you do with that? I just couldn't believe it, Lord. That whole flood story just threw me. You got to understand, right, God? I mean, come on, the creation. You created it. Come on. Come on, God. Come on, you got to give me that. No? No? God will look soberly at us and say, the reason you didn't believe in my son is you didn't really believe in me. Because I am the creator. I am the one who flooded the world. I am the one who sent my son. We come to Jesus to get to God. And to do that, we must come in faith. Simple, trusting faith. That there is a God who created the world, flooded the world. And we believe in His Son who believed in those things. Well, I mentioned we're going to get through this in four miracles. Here's miracle number three. Jesus believed in the Exodus. Jesus believed that God saved the people of Israel from Egypt by killing all the firstborn. Jesus believed that God took them out through the Red Sea and sustained them in the wilderness. How do we know that? Well, we know that first of all because it's recorded in the Old Testament. We know because of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, let's read verses 21 through 22. Exodus 14, 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Preacher, you can't really believe that. Yes, I can. If I have a God who's capable of creating a sea, don't I have a God who's capable of dividing it? You see, you must believe in a God that's big enough. Once you believe in a God that's big enough, these things become trivial. God created life on this earth. Do you know what mankind cannot explain in any way, shape, form, or fashion? How that happened. They will babble on about primordial ooze and lightning, and maybe this happened and maybe that happened and all of a sudden the other happened. It's a miracle to them. It's a miracle to us, but we know how it happened. What did Jesus say in Matthew 19? He created. I have a God capable of creating the world, flooding the world, dividing the Red Sea, bringing the people of Israel out. Not only do I believe it, not only did Jesus believe it, but pagans believed it. You notice the next scripture there is from Joshua. Joshua comes after Moses. He's the leader of the people after Moses dies. He's the one who leads them into the promised land. They come to a city, a walled city named Jericho. It's the first city they come to. And inside it, what kind of people do we have? Do we have Israelites? Do we have believers in God? Of course, we don't have Christians because of the time. Do we have those kind of people or do we have pagans? We have pagans. We have prostitutes. Do you know what the pagan prostitutes of Joshua's time believed in? A God who could part the Red Sea. This is Rahab, the harlot, as we know her. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9. By the way, Rahab's faith is referenced in Hebrews chapter 11. Here Rahab is hiding the spies sent from Joshua, and she says to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Now why is that? Before I read the next verse. Why is it that these people in the land of Canaan were scared of these sojourners, these slaves in Egypt? Because there was a mighty God. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. Do you know why Rahab the harlot believed? Because the Red Sea is real. Because God brought this helpless people out of the most powerful nation on the earth through the Red Sea on dry ground by a mighty hand. Now again, to stay with our conceit here, you might say, well, that's the Old Testament, preacher. You know the Old Testament's just made up. Come on, man. That's just myths you tell to fool children. Terrible attitude, but it's the attitude a lot of people have toward the Bible. Again, let's say I do away with the Old Testament. I would also have to do away with the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. You know who believed in the Red Sea? People who wrote the Old Testament, Rahab the harlot, and those inspired writers of the New Testament. Well, I guess next, preacher, you're going to tell me that Jesus believed in it too. Yes. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus never mentioned the Red Sea. Aha! I got you, preacher. I knew you boxed yourself in eventually. Hold your horses. I can show you that Jesus believed in the Exodus. Because Jesus believed in the Passover. And Jesus believed in manna. Without the Passover, you don't have the people of Israel coming from Egypt. And you don't get to the manna, if you know the order of your Bible, you don't get to the manna until those people of Israel do what? Until they cross the Red Sea. Luke chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. Jesus himself believes and talks about the Exodus. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. What is the Passover? The Passover is the remembrance festival of the fact that God passed over the children of Israel because of the blood on their doorposts and because God brought them out of Egypt. The last verse of Exodus chapter 12 says, with a mighty hand. To eat the Passover is to say, I believe in a God who brought Israel out of the land of Egypt. Or Jesus is lying to us. Or Jesus is just humoring us with our silly religious festivals. This is what you must believe about Jesus. Or you can believe in a God who's big enough to do these things and a Jesus who believed in them all. I mentioned manna, John chapter 6, verse 32. John chapter 6 is where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This is a discussion he gets into with religious leaders of Israel. It's always a funny chapter to me. Jesus feeds 4,000 people, and you know what the next thing they say is? Do a sign. That's always humored me to no end. So in this discussion with Jesus about the fact that he can't do a sign, the leaders of Israel say, oh, well, Moses gave us manna. Jesus says, hold your horses there. Hold your horses there for a minute. John chapter 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So Jesus believed in the Exodus story. He believed that God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He believed he got them to the point where God gave them manna. When did God give them manna? When they came from the Red Sea. When they came out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness. Jesus believed in the Exodus. Jesus believes in the flood. Jesus believes in the creation story. And finally this. When you preach, you don't always do exactly what you intend. I have intended all along to say Jesus believes in the creation and the flood and these things because that's the active voice, because Jesus is, right? Jesus did believe. He does believe. Jesus believes now. And I did all that because I intended to get to this point and to say that Jesus believed in the resurrection, and I have a point to make about that. Jesus believed in his resurrection before it occurred. Jesus believed in his resurrection before it occurred. How do we know that? Because Jesus said it was going to happen. The same Jesus who created the world, who believed in a God big enough to create the world, to flood the world, and to bring the people of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground, that same Jesus before he died, believed that God could raise him from the dead. Again, another miracle that people will try to talk you out of. Right? The idea that, well, I believe Jesus is a good guy. I believe Jesus may have even been a good moral teacher. But come on, this business about him being risen from the dead and going to heaven. Come on, man, you can't believe that. Yes, I can. Jesus did. Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. I hope you're reading your Bible along with me. What does Jesus say? And he will be raised on the third day. Before Jesus went to the cross, before Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he believed God had the power to resurrect him. This is where Jesus is our great example. Because I do too. I believe that if I die before the Lord comes, he will resurrect me and take me to heaven. You know why I believe that? Because God showed that it could be done. God showed that I can have eternal life through Jesus. That if I trust him and I go to my grave, even if I don't understand, even if I don't know all the ways, even if I have to walk in faith and just say, Lord, I trust you and I believe you, that Jesus did the same thing. And Jesus willingly went to the cross and died because he trusted in God to resurrect him. Remember that guy I was trying to talk to about coming down the aisle? That's the faith we're talking about. That's the faith. The faith to say to God, Lord, I realize that you can save me and you will save me. I believe you have the power to take me to heaven if you so wish. That you have the power to resurrect me from the dead, to forgive me and let me stand before you. And I will do anything you ask me to do. That's Christianity. But it's based first in trust. First in faith, that the God that I'm trying to get through Jesus Christ created the world, that yes, even Jesus himself was there at the creation and created it with him. He is the we of Genesis chapter 1. The God who flooded the world has the power to destroy this world with fire, and that this Jesus who believed in the Exodus story was resurrected from the dead. Do I believe those things? I can name that tune in four miracles. You can become a Christian in four miracles. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. What does the resurrection say? The resurrection declares it is God's sign for all time. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He is the Son of God. He is more than Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. And was declared to be, verse 4 of Romans chapter 1, the resurrection speaks to us today and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? By His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. This is our last verse. Acts chapter 17 is an interesting place. It's a fantastic place to, I think, to talk to others about Jesus Christ. Because you know, so many times we start with Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 2 is another great place. Acts chapter 2, Peter's talking to Jews. Paul in Acts chapter 17 is talking to Gentiles. Well, guess who we're dealing with pretty much? This is the kind of person we're dealing with. We're talking about a person who does not believe in God. This is the thing Paul's trying to overcome. They don't believe in a God who's capable of creation and flooding the earth. This is the thing that Paul is trying to overcome. He's trying to get them to believe in a God, the one God, who is near them and who they can find and who they can approach and who will save them. And this one God has given them one sign that demands repentance. Here's what Paul is saying in a nutshell. you've lived all your life believing in these pagan gods. God has done something so great and amazing that it declares that you must believe in Him now. You must repent from your life of a lack of faith. You must repent from your life of serving these other gods. You must turn to the true God. Why, Paul? Because He's done something that stops traffic. In fact, it stops this conversation. This is Paul's showstopper. People will listen to Paul until he says this one thing. And guess what? It's the same thing that stops people today. The resurrection. Acts 17, verse 30. You're familiar with these words. Let me back up to verse 29. But being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. You see where Paul is saying here, leave your false gods behind. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. Let me stop right there. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, I'm about to give you the reason why you should follow after this God and do away with your pagan gods. Not only that, but this God is going to judge the world. Every one of you must give an account to this God. Why, Paul? Why should I? Tell me, Paul, why should I do this? Look at the next words in the verse. He has given assurance. What does that mean? He has proved it to you. He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. How do I know Jesus is going to judge the world? Because God raised Him from the dead. How do I know to serve the one true God? Because He raised Jesus from the dead. To become a Christian, you must believe in the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, what are we here for? To entertain ourselves? To spend some time with people we kind of like or think alike? What a weak and terrible Christianity that must be for someone. I have faith in a God who created this world. Creation speaks His name. I believe in a God who ended this world once and who will end it again. I believe in a God who crossed the Red Sea, a God that is capable of delivering His people into rest. And I believe that my God can carry me into rest because I believe He's already carried Jesus into rest. Jesus went to the grave in trusting faith that God would resurrect Him. And God resurrected Him and gave Him a kingdom and took Him to heaven. Well, guess what's going to happen to us at the last call? At the sound of the trumpet, we will all be changed. And you know what we will do? We will do what Jesus did. The first fruits, the forerunner, the path clearer. I believe I can follow Jesus into heaven because I believe He's been resurrected and ascended. If you're not a Christian, that's the hurdle. I have no problem in telling you I believe that God created this world. My God is that great. It is not a silly story that God flooded the world. In fact, for those of you who are familiar with the Epic of Gilgamesh and other historical records, smart people that don't believe in the Bible believe in the flood of Noah's time. I believe God took the people of Israel out of Egypt. I believe He delivered them and saved them. And I believe He can resurrect me from the dead if I die in faith. And I follow His Son. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, if you're a Christian and you have fallen into sin, or if you're a Christian and you have a need that no one knows about and you need the prayers of this congregation, we always offer this invitation to you to come. And if you're not a Christian, we urge you to put your faith in a God who can do all those things and in His Son who loved us enough to die on the cross, who's in heaven waiting on us now. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.